Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 54th week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
And then look at verse number 2. This is very interesting. And Judah saw. Now, before you go any farther, I looked up again that word saw. S-A-W. The word saw, it literally means he looked upon. Remember Shechem in Genesis 34:2. He used the same word. And Shechem saw Dinah. And when Shechem saw Dinah, what did he have in mind? Hey, I like that. When Judah saw, what was her name? That we're going to say Shua. When he saw her, he said, man, I like that. That's what the connotation was. By the way, looking would get you into trouble. It ain't good English, but sawing would get you into trouble. These men who saw, they looked and it got them into big trouble. Shechem saw Dinah. Well, Judah saw Shua. He liked what he saw, and the rest of the verse says, he took her and he went in unto her. Literally, the phrase he went into her is that he laid with her. Verse number 3. And she, Shua, conceived and bare a son and called his name Ur. Verse number 4. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she conceived yet again and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Kesib, which she bare him. And it's interesting, as we look at this, in verses 3, 4, and 5, notice that Jacob named the first child Ur. The word Ur, the name Ur, is a Hebrew name. It's a Hebrew name. It means watcher, which don't really mean nothing to us, but you get a pattern here. He named the first child. She named the next two children, and they were Canaanite names. He named the first boy a Hebrew name, but she gave the other boys, a Canaanite name. It's interesting to note that probably apparently, and again, the Bible does not say, but apparently, Shua made Judah, kind of made him henpecked. She would put she started wearing the pants in the family, so to speak. She started naming the kids, and we could see as it goes on, the thought, the personalities that's brought out here. Judah kind of backed off of it. He married a Canaanite woman who was an unbeliever. It's a problem, a real problem. And we see in verse number 6 and 7. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. Now Judah found a wife, Tamar, and God slew Ur because he was wicked. And the Bible does not say what Ur had done, but obviously, he was a wicked boy. Which is not surprising. The other boys probably were problem kids too because growing up in a dysfunctional family and having an ungodly mother did not help. Now listen to this. A home can survive a bad man, but it cannot survive a bad woman. Let that sink in. Judah went down there, saw her, he liked what he saw, and she was a problem, okay? She was not from the Hebrew faith, from that line of people. She's a pagan. Obviously, she still worshiped her gods, and the children were brought up in that. Proverbs 14:1, we read this. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Again, a home can survive a bad man, and we see it all the time, but it cannot survive a bad woman. It's the woman who holds it together. The woman holds the house together. It's undoubtedly true. Before going, you know, let's just move on. There's so many things I want to get into, but we see a problem here. Verse number 8. And Judah said unto Onan, which was his second son, go into thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went into his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. The word displeased literally means this was evil in the eyes of the Lord. What the next brother in line, Onan, did, it displeased the Lord. It was evil in the sight of the Lord. And you have to understand back then, according to the custom of the day, and actually it became a law, we read it in the book of Leviticus, that if a man died before providing sons to his wife, it was the duty of his brothers to marry her and to give her sons, but the child would be considered the child of the brother who died. In other words, the elder brother. It wouldn't be Onan's brother. It would be Ur's or son. It would be Ur's son. Legally, and how people would look at that, even though Ur is dead, Onan came in there. But Onan went unto Tamar. It says he had sex, and God killed him. I didn't know any way to put it. This is when it says he spilled it on the ground. I read quite a few commentators on how they would phrase this and how they would put it in commentaries. And none of them just seemed to fit my thinking. You know, I'm just from Polk County. And here's how I would put it. He pulled out. I just simply stated, just when it was fixing to happen, he pulled out and he spilled it on the ground because he didn't want Tamar to be pregnant with him, Onan's child, and it be called. Or are you following? That's the thought. Okay, I won't go any more than that. Here's the problem. Why did God kill him? Onan was more than happy to use Tamar for his sexual gratification. Can you imagine dad saying, go in there and do what you need to do? Okay. He's more than happy to do that. Don't see any problem here. But he didn't want to give her a son. So Onan pursued sex as only a pleasurable experience, but didn't want to take responsibility or fulfill his obligation to his dead brother Ur. Now, a lot could be said with this, but the custom of the day, you can say what you want, but the statement was, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and it displeased God, and he killed him. So you take it any way you want it, but obviously God didn't like that, and I think it was because Onan did it for his own personal satisfaction and all, and disobeyed, so God killed him. Interesting. Now, verse number 11. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. Lest peradventure he die also. To me, that's interesting. The first two boys already died and red flags are going, he's my last boy. Boy, I don't know if I want him to die too, you know. So go back home to your dad. And then when Shua gets up of age, remember who was the youngest boy, then we'll see. I'll give Shua to you. Of course, Judah had something else in the back of his mind we're going to see here later. He said, then Shua can be your husband to fulfill that law.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And come visit us this Saturday evening at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church to hear the Perrys live in concert. That's at 6 p.m. Saturday, April 24th at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church. We hope that you'll attend and enjoy the wonderful music. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.